Well, prior to camera, there you go. It's important, they talk about sometimes, but. They mean.
They all do a bunch of.
Email, and then I have the businesses. You didn't. I sent you an email, I think I sent that to you.
Oh, you know what, I didn't check that.
Okay. Well.
I usually check every day.
You should have an email from me.
Okay. Now, those are just hot out of my hair.
That might be more modern, that might be a day or two.
Okay.
It changes about every day.
I didn't.
All right, Jim.
Well, I got. I think it'll difficult.
Talk about.
We're gonna get one for you, one for Lincoln, one for us, and she's getting all three of you guys. I didn't get any. See Jackson.
Bye. All right. Let me check the sound. Is this the sound though? Check, mic check. Hello, hello. Oh, there it is. Alrighty. Alright, let's get going. We're a shade late. Sorry about that there. Yeah, it is. Wow, it is late. 9:05. Alright, so today, National Watermelon Day. So, that's pretty cool. I mean, this is a good one. Watermelon. Yeah, Sherry loves watermelon. We eat quite a bit of it at our house. We eat in the winter even. We eat it all the time. So, eat a watermelon today. A whole one they recommended for health-wise. Yeah, me and Sherry always talk about that. Remember when we were kids, they were like black diamond, and they were huge, and they had these big giant seeds, and it was kind of fun. But you know, now they're mostly seedless, and I just don't think they taste as good as they did back when we were kids. You know, it's hard to find a good old black diamond. All right, so today at HBF, lots going on. First, Jordan Fox wanted to thank everybody. I guess she did really well on her bake sale last week. She's almost met her numbers, which is just amazing. That's really a praise.
Yeah.
So that's good news.
It was like 1,000 or 1,200 for a bake sale, and it was like 3,000.
Yeah, I mean, she really did really good. So that's very cool. All right, so thanks from her for that. Youth camp, they leave tomorrow, so we need to be sure and pray for them. Remember them. The kids and the team in prayer this week. Hopefully the weather stays mild. I haven't seen the weather.
But, I think they got close to 30 teenagers and 15 adults. So it's like 25 people from our church.
Building. Yeah, that's really cool. And that's a good camp down there in Clinton. So be in prayer for our youth this week, safety and for souls. Got a couple prayer teams meeting today. The Portland team and the Ukraine team are two that are in the bulletin that are meeting. HBI registration is open. I think classes actually start the next day or two, some of them. So if you're interested in, like this kind of stuff, but further on, HBI would be something to consider. If you're not quite ready for that, there is the How to Disciple, where if you want to take someone else through the 16 lessons, there's a How to Disciple class. I believe it's on Wednesdays for a month where Jeremy will teach folks how to take others through the material, so that'd be a good intro class for you. Any questions on any of that? No. All right. So then, this Tuesday starts the endurance ministry. It's been several years, I guess since before Ruth, so 5 years. But Heather Borntrigger heads this up. This is basically like a is running. If you like to run and exercise, which I don't. But anyway, Tuesdays and Thursdays, starting this Tuesday. So Tuesdays and Thursdays, 6 to 8, a team of people, they meet here at the church, and they jog around the area. I'm sure they'll be hitting the walking trail now that we have that available. So that it looks like fun. I see them here. They look like they're having fun, but they're all hot and sweaty. So then, Friday, August 29th, this is out a couple weeks. This is Labor Day weekend, and you guys are mostly familiar with this, but Labor Day weekend, that Friday evening, is the Life Issues homecoming. Steve's been busy putting all that together. 7 to 9 is the time, so plan to be here for that. It's a homecoming. We invite all of our students, leaders, and everybody that's had anything to do with Life Issues, let's come out and have a big celebration. It's always a good meeting, lots of speakers, a lot of good stuff, raffle prizes, a lot of the food, we're feeding people, good time. So then Labor Day weekend is also the next fifth Sunday, so we'll be doing the Lord's Supper at the end of August. There will be no ABF, but we still have several weeks before that. So, but that's coming up. And then might as well put this on the radar. It's hard to imagine. The Fall Bible Conference is just around the corner. And this is where we shut down for 3 or 4 days and just assemble Bibles. So it's like last few years, it starts Wednesday, September 17th, through Sunday, September 21st. Wednesday's kind of setup day. The hardcore Bible assembly will start Thursday. So if you need to take off work, you want to take off work, I would take Thursday, Friday to get in on this. I'm sure they would appreciate help Wednesday, but Thursday, Friday are the assembly days, and Saturday, Sunday. And that is about it. So, any questions? All right, we shall proceed then. I'm going to move up front. Bear my... I know we have a few things to pray for. And like I said, youth camp, they leave tomorrow morning. So definitely want to pray for the youth camp. That would be a lot of fun. I've never done youth camp with them, but... That'd be fun. I always went to scout camp. I was a scout growing up. Youth camp. And then I seen you guys signed a, I wasn't here last week, but you guys signed a card for Joe Knight. Did everybody get a chance to sign that? Okay. Yeah, Chris's uncle that had his leg amputated like from the knee down. And actually now they're even, his other knee is giving them fits, and they're thinking, early talk about amputating the other leg. And he's got a full shoulder replacement coming from the, he was in a bad car wreck last January or so, so it's really messed him up. So it's just really tragic. They had their water heater go out the other day, and they just, they're just getting hit with all kinds of stuff. And they're really good believers. Actually spoke of Life Issues a few years ago, so I appreciate the card you guys get. I'll make sure they get that. All right, anything else? Praise, prayers? Yes?
Prayers for my mom and LaDonna. LaDonna's in the nursing home. My mom absolutely panicked.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tracy.
Pray for my neighbor, Mike. He's in the hospital.
Sure. All right, so yeah, Mary. Oh,
pray for
April.
Yeah, they moved her to a nursing home. It's not great.
Oh, really? Did she actually get good care?
It's supposed to be a good rehab place, but it's the nursing home part of it is still.
Ah, that's a bummer. Is it close to here?
It's in this side.
Okay.
Then you have an office.
Yeah, all you can, yeah, fine, open.
Yeah, there's a group in the Dominican right now.
Oh, yeah.
From Lee Sinning Church, I think they're from Decatur, Alabama.
Okay.
Teams, they finish up there and come home.
Yeah, there's Jaime. Chuck, what you got today? Haley is?
Yeah.
Well, very good.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good praise.
Dottie said she won't be here today. She's not
really well. Oh, Dottie's out. Yeah, I've seen something. She wrote something like that.
She's not very good on Friday. Yeah, she looked like she was struggling for it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, pretty good list. All righty, let's go, Lord, in prayer. We get started today. Lord, just thank you as always for the chance to meet in your house, Lord, and just thank you for those that have come out to worship and praise and learn about you, Lord. And just we have a few things that are heavy on our heart. I do always lift up Joe and Lori that with Joe's amputation, and just really pray that you continue to just encourage them and work in their heart, Lord. They've had a really good attitude up to now, and just thank you for that and their testimony and of praise to you. And put that whole situation in your hands, and with youth camp coming up tomorrow, just pray for all of our teens of our church, Lord, that are going. Really, all the teens that'll be there from the different churches, and pray that your spirit would move among their young hearts, Lord, just to encourage them and to just really help them just know and love and serve you even more as they go into adulthood, Lord, and for Tracy's mom and LaDonna, just lift that up to you, Lord, and pray that you'd work there, that's to help with the grief and just help encourage those, help Teresa be a light to them, a light of hope and showing Christ's love. And for Tracy's neighbor, Mike, that's in the hospital, Lord, just pray that you'd work in his heart. Lord, it's, I know in Psalms, I think it's 119, 170 something, it talks about our afflictions draw us close to you, and just pray, Lord, that during this time of affliction for Mike and for really anyone, all of us, Lord, that we would use that time wisely to draw to you and that you would make yourself known to us. And for April that got moved into the nursing home, just pray that that works out well, and just pray for, you know, wisdom, discernment, patience, and everything that Mary needs dealing with that. And I know she's showing your love to April, and just thank you that she's still around. Just thank you that they found a home, but just pray that it be the home that she needs. And for the team at the DR, just pray for the souls they'll be ministering to, and just all the people that went down there to do your work, Lord. They'd see your hand working mightily among the Dominican folks. And just always thank you for Chuck, just a good, humble servant behind the scenes, Lord. And thank you that his friend Haley is doing better, and just really pray your hand would be on Chuck and all of his friends up at the house, and just thank you for him over these many years. And Dottie's not feeling well this morning. There's probably a lot of us not feeling too well, Lord, but Dottie's really been struggling lately, and just really pray for her. Lift up her physical afflictions, wherever they are, and just pray that you'd help heal her and just help encourage her, Lord, that she is loved by a lot of people, and we just really pray that Dottie gets feeling better. And Lord, again, just commit this time to you and pray for Pastor Steve and the message out of Revelation 8, that we'd be encouraged and just thankful, Lord, that we're on your team, and all these things that we talk about, Lord, are for the unsaved. And just pray that it would kind of put a fire under us to get involved and help evangelize and get the message out, Lord. So, again, I commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right.
Glad Jim's back. Let's give him a hand.
No.
Well, we're kind of glad, but I'm not glad.
You know how it is, you get back
vacation. Well, Brother Heidi's going to just say what he was doing last week. I'll give him a couple minutes here.
Him to go in the front.
Yeah, come up here, get on the camera.
All right. So last week, we were with my family at First Baptist Church at Creighton, Missouri. So it's here passing after, Garden City? So it's not too far away. We went there because some friend of Steve called me 2 weeks ago and asked me if I was be able to interpret from Spanish to English, because a pastor from Nicaragua was coming to town, and they wanted somebody to interpreter whenever he was doing his, he was going to do some sharing what he's doing at Nicaragua, because a guy from their church named John Manning, he went 4 months ago. He went to Nicaragua with his wife. He's blind. I didn't know that until 2 or 3 days before I went there. We were on the phone. He's really nice. So he went to Nicaragua with his wife on like a short vision trip, or helping with the missions there. So the pastor who came here, he doesn't know any English. So I was there doing his interpretation. He was blessed for everybody and blessed to our family. His main point was how to help missions, or how to send missionaries, or how to help other countries. So it's a good thing that we do it here at church. Like, we help missionaries, we help the missions. So he was teaching basically three points about how we can help other countries, or how we can help missions. So it was a blessing to my family and I, and my mother was there able to go with us, and the kids were enjoying. And so it was nice to go other place. It is a small church, like probably 50 people or less, and small group of kids. So it was real nice experience. And Steve said 2 weeks ago, "I'm sorry that I got you in that, but it was all right."
Okay.
No, but it was different. It was a different experience, and I enjoyed. He was going fast in Spanish, so I was trying to keep on track, and he was so excited, and so it was real nice. So yeah, so thank you, Steve, again for doing that. No.
He asked who could translate. So you're the first person I thought of, and there is a lady at work that she said she would do it, but she's not a believer. I thought, well, maybe it'd be good for her to try to do that. Just she would hear the gospel. But I really appreciate that. I do.
Anytime. So anybody wants some help, I'm here in the Lord's name. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
I apologize, but I don't know if you guys can see my screen, but hey, Jim, do you know what? Look at this. Everything's upside down.
Oh, man.
I mean, when I unplug it, it's right side up.
That is odd. You know, I don't know.
Okay. I probably have to.
Control-Alt-Shift?
Yeah. Okay. While it's plugged in?
Yeah, probably.
Hold on just a second. Well, I do have an update from Brian Hedges as well. I want to read to you. See if I can get this real quick.
So it is Humble App, Humble Bomb, and then Arrows.
Yeah. It's still upside. I know it comes out here okay, but it's upside down on my screen, so I can't. Why don't you come up and try it? Let's see if you can get that turned upside down for me. I've never had to do that. I might be able to just, I mean, it's right side up for everybody else. All right, well, most of you guys know that Pastor Brian is in India. Yeah. Pat's got a Surface Pro also, so maybe he knows. So Brian gave us a trip up. I think he's about halfway through his journey, and I'll just read to you what he wrote. It says,
We have had the pastor training on dispensations and covenants. And Brian is with Tyson Simon. Many of you remember him, and his dad were here several years ago. Yeah, that's it, Bernie. And he's really involved with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, I believe. Or at least he was. So he thinks it went well, him and Tyson teaching. He said eternity will tell. He said we capped it off with a volleyball tournament between local church pastors, divided up by town or region. It was a great afternoon. We are encouraging Pastor Pradeep to consider this a key to the culture as the Hindus from the neighborhood joined in. So it was a glorious time. The four teams were acknowledged in the morning service as Tyson Simon gave away the trophies. It was a real fun, quite a fun time, he said. He said there was 10 persecuted men that came last night. I was able to spend time with them, and today, after church, they are the saints who were persecuted on June 31st after their local church service. These saints are serious, and we had a great time hearing their story. And Doug preached the message of comfort on Isaiah 40. So evidently Doug Pearson is there with them. He says tonight he's going to preach at the Bible College graduation. So he says pray for that. So I failed to mention that. He said we head out to Candomal. That was a persecuted area back in 2008. And after a conference three on Qualahondri for another conference. So I guess they're doing three conferences in a persecuted area. He said, please pray that three white Americans will not be too conspicuous or stir up trouble for our dear brothers. So I guess him and Tyson and Doug. We'll finish up Thursday and start the journey home on Friday. We'll see you all next Sunday. So Brian will be back next Sunday, it sounds like. So we'll try to pray for them at the end of our time together. And I think somebody has asked me about Joel. And so Joel was in Texas for a couple weeks. So he'll be back in a couple weeks. Many of you met him. But Tom and Linda have joined us last week and this week. So get to know them if you can. And so I thought I would just start out with this slide of Jim's. That's probably not the right word. We don't have slides and overheads anymore, do we? We were thinking about that. People don't read newspapers anymore either, so it's just kind of a different time, isn't it? So this is Brother Jim's handout. And while you were gone, Pam really tried to bolster your book sales.
Oh, no. Well, I had three this week.
You had three orders this week. And I think this, I mean, it's black and white, but it's in your book, right? This.
I don't know. It's not. It is. Okay. It's been so many years. I did
that
during the Revelation.
Well, what I like about this, well, many things, but, you know, in chapters 6 through 8, well, we're still in chapter 8, but we went through these first four seals, the four horsemen of these seals here. And chapter 6 got us all the way through six seals. And then chapter 7 was this kind of parenthesis where we talked about the 144,000, because chapter 6 in fact, look at Revelation 6. And look, somebody read for us the last verse of Revelation 6. Because it says, it asks a question. Yeah, so who shall be able to stand? Is this mine? And so it asks this question, and so we believe that chapter 7 kind of answers that by, well, it's 144,000 because they're going to be sealed, they're going to be protected by having this seal on their head, and it's from God the Father marks them. And so that was a lot of what chapter 7 was about, these 12,000 from each tribe of Israel. And but then in chapter 8 is where we're at today. And we're this is a seal of silence for about a half an hour. And I'm going to add a word with that, but in just a minute, as we look at these, and Jaime, I'll have you pass these out if you would. Sorry, I'm a little bit disjointed this morning for some reason. Guess my computer's not working. But right here at the end of the beginning of chapter 8, it's going to mention this seventh seal and this silence in heaven for the space of about a half an hour or 30 minutes. And then he's going to give seven trumpets to seven angels. And these first four trumpets are going to be kind of natural things. And the last three trumpets are going to be in chapter 9, and they're about these three woes. And so things get really bad. But let's look at Revelation 8. And it says, "And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour or 30 minutes. And that, you know, a lot of people think a lot of things about that. But I want to take us back to something. Let's read verse 2 first. He says, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." And I think I want to get kind of a run at this and see if this makes sense. I don't think I showed this particular slide before, but this is kind of the arrangement of the tribes of Israel in their, you know, wanderings in the wilderness. And there's like, you know, three tribes on all four sides and the tabernacle in the middle. And now, who were these three people? Does anybody remember? Do you remember this Kohath and Gershon and Merari? Yeah, they were the sons of Aaron. They're the Levites, the priestly tribe. And so each of them had different responsibilities in the tabernacle. And so I thought this was cool. Hopefully you think it's cool, but I was listening to J. Vernon McGee talk about Revelation 8. And you know, this thing about the trumpets, they were sound either for gathering or for war. And he mentioned that, you know, there's, and Numbers 10 even says this, that, you know, when you blow the trumpet, I forget which tribe starts out first. Let's just say that these three goes first, and they blow it again, these three, blow it again, these three, blow it again, these three. Well, then they blow it three more times, and the Levites move out. So there's like seven blasts when they move. And so I thought that was cool that relates to these seven trumpets in Revelation 8 that these seven angels have. And as they sound, these different things happen. And it's kind of connected with the Old Testament. And then be turning with me to Luke chapter 1. I want us to look at something from Luke chapter 1 because there's something really happened. Really interesting that happens there, and I think it's. Does anyone know what like the morning and evening oblation is that the Bible talks about? Does anybody know what that is? It's a sacrifice. Yeah, they offer like a lamb each morning, on the altar of burnt offerings. So they called it the morning and evening oblation, and That's why, you know, like Spurgeon has his morning and evening devotions. So there's other things based on this, but what the tribe of Levi would do is they would take a censer, I think in Revelation 8 here, it's going to talk about a golden censer, and they would put, after they would burn the sacrifice, they would put like hot coals in their censer, and then they would bring those hot coals into this altar of incense, and they would put the hot coals there, and then they would put incense on it, and that incense we've all probably smelled or seen. I think of it like 4th of July, you have your little punk, you know, that you light, and it's kind of burning, and I don't know if that's actually incense, but that's what I think of. You got a little stick with the some kind of scent. And so, but let's look at, so thinking about that, now let's look at Luke chapter 1, and I want you to see something from there. And can somebody read 8 through 10 for us? Luke 1, 8 through 10. And this is talking about John the Baptist's mother and father. Luke 1, 8 through 10.
It came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in order of his court, according to the custom of the priest's office, his office to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of incense.
Yeah, so this was Elizabeth's husband, Zacharias. And verse 7 says that she was barren. She didn't have a child. And this is where he was in there offering this incense. So he was doing this morning and evening oblation and putting his course to put this incense on the altar. And what was the whole multitude doing while he was doing that in verse 10? They were praying at the time of incense. And so as we talk about here in Revelation, this thing of this 30 minutes of silence, what I think's going on is this, and it's been a while, but I know like when I was back on the farm, there was always kind of a calm before the storm. You know, rather it be a tornado or just a big thunderstorm, it kind of gets quiet. And just real still, because in chapter 7, you know, these angels are holding back these four winds, and these Jewish male are being sealed. It's 144,000, and here we get here, and there's silence. It's just like a calm before the storm. And what I think is happening is this angel and God is hearing the prayers of the saints. In fact, look back at Revelation now. I think it's in chapter 5. Let me see where I'm at here. Revelation. It was, where was the souls under the altar at? Was that, no, it was chapter 6. Look at Revelation 6:9. It says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." So that in chapter 6 there, so there's souls under the altar, and we're going to see almost the same thing here in Revelation 8. So somebody read Revelation 8, verse 3 through 5, if they would. Okay.
"Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne, and the smoke of the incense which done with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it unto the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake.
Yeah, and so prayer is connected here with this incense. And it says there that I forget which verse had that said that stood before, yeah, at the end of verse 3, stood before the throne, because you guys know that the tabernacle was patterned after the true tabernacle in heaven. And so the throne he's talking about is this most holy place, the mercy seat. It's a seat, so it's like a throne. And so this angel is putting these, it's not really incense, he's actually putting the prayers, and they're coming up before God, and they're silent. So everybody around the tabernacle, just like with Zacharias, they're praying. And so I really think that, and I didn't give you your blanks very good, but at the bottom of your handout, it says the silence in verse 1 is due to the prayers being offered. So let me get retrack a little bit. So I really think that silence in heaven is due to these prayers. And your first blank, and Brian Hedges put this together, just a half an hour or 30 minutes, it says the number 30 is often connected with mourning. And so maybe that's the reason for in half an hour, because you know these are the saints that have died for their faith. They've been martyred. They're under the throne. They're saying how long? I gave you a couple verses there that where people mourn for 30 days. So perhaps the number 30 is connected with mourning, and then your teaching point there that the second coming of Christ is a day of the trumpet. So I had you put, so all this is connected. So those are the three blanks on your front of your page there. And we said, yeah.
In Revelation 5:8, it does actually connect that and say that it's talking about vials and odors, which would be incense, and it says, which are the prayers of incense.
So that, yeah. It's a pretty wild thought. The Bible's just so, the pictures are so clear on some of this stuff. It's just like so rich, isn't it? You can just think about it for a little bit. I'm trying to see if in the middle of your page under letter B, I gave you a teaching point. The second coming of Christ is a day of the trumpet. And I'll just read that from Zephaniah. The great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty men shall cry there bitterly. That day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of dark gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities and against the high tower. And so I like that, you know, the Lord's voice is like a trumpet many times. And so we're going to see several things about the trumpet. We're only going to get through this first trumpet today, but I want us to see some things about this golden censer. But from verse 3, it has the fire from the brazen altar, and the incense is being offered with prayers. And in Leviticus 10, 1 and 2, I think Aaron had four boys, and two of them got, the Lord killed them. It says here, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put therein, or put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, and which he commanded them not. and there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. So instead of getting fire off the altar after they sacrificed, they must have got it from their own house, a campfire or something, and they went in and put the strange fire and the incense on there, and God killed them. So it was a very serious thing to do it right. And on your back page, I give you several things about incense that I thought were interesting. Just a teaching point there, that incense is obtained by making an incision in the bark of a tree. I don't know how to pronounce that. It's called Arbor Thuris, uniquely found in the Middle East, primarily in Arabia, which is where Sheba's at. The application is that men are likened to trees in the Bible. We should let the sword of the Word of God make an incision in us that oozes out this pure white incense. And if you remember, one of the gifts that was offered when Jesus was a child was frankincense, wasn't it? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And just the word frank, we still use it. I mean, not only for somebody's name, but you know, we might say, you know, can I just be frank with you? You're saying, can I just be honest with you? And so that's what God wants, is this being frank, being honest, and letting our prayers come to Him in a pure way. Amen. And there's examples in the Bible from 2 Kings where they burned incense unto Baal and to the sun and to the moon and to the planets and to all the host of heaven. And even in Jeremiah, they burn incense unto the queen of heaven. So there, we would call that idolatry and false worship. And so we may do that inadvertently as we let our affection be on things below and not on things above. And so I think I had you put the word honest in your blank, just as kind of a meaning of frankincense. And now I want to give you a new word. Let me ask you this. You know, Jim prayed for us. We had prayer requests this morning, and we prayed for the DR team. By the way, Pam, you'll relate to this, but I think the church building in the DR is about the size of this whole trailer, like both sides of the trailer. Would you say that's about right? It's almost this wide and almost as long as the whole trailer. Pam, Lee said they had 200 people there. I think they were giving away 500 backpacks, and they were giving the gospel, of course, and they had like 100 people outside and 100 people inside. Not all 200 would fit in like this trailer. And so Lee's just kind of overwhelmed. And I think when we were there, and he don't really elaborate on this a lot, but he said some lady outside was trying to cause trouble, and she said she bit him. Yeah. Yeah, that's the video I watched. And but she came in this time and was part of the service or something, and I don't know if he said she got saved, did she? She did. And then when we were there, he mentioned that, and it may have been the guy I worked with, this junior, he was like in his house getting ready to hang himself. When somebody from our team invited him, and he's the one that got saved, and he said in the video that he's asked to be discipled now. And so anyway, just some cool things that are happening there. But I want you to think about prayers, and I've been asked this question before, and see what you think. But be turning to Psalm 5 first. Go to Psalm 5. I want you to see something about prayers, because this type of prayer is really a little different than maybe the type of prayers that you and I, you know, we're praying, we're thanking the Lord for Haley's good health, and praying that the team will, that Pastor Brian will get home okay, and et cetera, et cetera. But I want you to see this prayer from David in Psalm 5, and there's a word for it. Somebody read Psalm 5, verse 10, if they would.
So this
is an example. This is like the first example in Psalm, I think, of this type of prayer, maybe. But this morning we didn't pray, "Oh God, destroy those people." We didn't, but that's what he's saying, isn't it? Isn't that what the people in Revelation 6 was praying? You know, "God, how long till you take vengeance on the people that killed us?" You know, how long? And so the word for that, I don't know.
I have the definition for that.
You do?
Yeah.
I'll let Angie read that. Go ahead.
It says it's an adjective that it's containing a prayer for evil to befall a person.
So.
Say that again.
Containing a prayer for evil to befall a person.
So you. And so I've been asked that question, should we pray, you know, for our enemy to be killed, or God take away this, you know, so imprecatory. And so it is, it means containing a prayer for evil to befall a person. And I think I gave a good answer, but basically David is not really praying for his enemies to be killed, but he's really praying against the enemies of God. And I think maybe it would be okay that, like, you know, if somebody, and this has happened a couple times, somebody tried to sue our church, right? So we're like, "Oh God, help here. We, you know, we don't have $1 million laying around to give this person," or whatever. So I think it's okay to maybe pray against the enemies of God. And I hope I'm saying that okay. But these are imprecatory. But I bet almost everybody here has memorized the Lord's Prayer. And in a way, when we say, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," that's a little bit of an imprecatory, because there's some things that has to happen before he comes, isn't there? So in a way, we're saying, like, Lord, bring about the tribulation. We want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And before that happens, you know, there has to be all these other things. And so in a way, I guess you say a little bit of imprecatory prayer when we might say the Lord's Prayer even. Anyway, it's kind of wild thinking. What are you thinking, Pam?
Well, my favorite one is Psalm 109, starting with verse 6.
Go ahead and read that. Yeah.
Oh, set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless, and his wife a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and begged, and let them seek their bread also out of the desolate
places.
Let his children catch all that he
hath,
and let the stranger spoil his labor. Anyway, it goes on.
Yeah. Let his children be, you know, fatherless or whatever they. That's. Yeah. Well, it is a curse. You're praying a curse on that family or people, and I think that specifically was fulfilled with Judas Iscariot. That's actually a prophecy there. And that was Psalm 109, verses what?
Oh,
that
started in verse 6.
6 through 12 or something? Yeah.
All the way down to 20.
Okay. I actually read that. I didn't put that on my list for some reason, so thank you for bringing that up. Yeah, So I guess what I'm saying is, here in the tribulation period, those type of prayers are being answered, you know, like God, it's time to, you know, for people to meet their maker, or to time to fulfill your promises. And so God is getting ready to answer the prayers of those souls under the altar from Revelation 6:10 that we read. There's a little bit of connection with the Lord's Prayer. And then in verse 5 that Tracy read, so go back to Revelation 8 again, and verse 5 that she read was where it said, so this angel took the censer with all those prayers in it, and got the fire off the altar, and you know that kind of represents you know, Christ's sacrifice once and for all, and this angel cast it into the earth, and there was voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And so now that kind of concludes the seventh seal, and now these trumpets are beginning to sound. And so I think we want to finish our time here in verse 7. And this is the first of the seven trumpets. There's only four trumpets in chapter 8, and the rest are in the next couple chapters. But I gave you a teaching point there that the first four trumpets focus on environmental disasters, and it's for preparing and cleansing the planet for its rightful owner. And who is its rightful owner, class? It's Jesus. He's the right answer. And he is the one that was worthy to open the book with seven seals, as the seals have been opened to earth's land deed. So these first four trumpets all deal with kind of some natural events of epic proportion. And so somebody read verse 6 for us, chapter 8, verse 6.
And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound.
Read one more, too.
First angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire made of the blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and a third part of trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up.
Yeah, and so now I want you to think. The seven angels, I want you to think about these seven angels for a minute, because it says the seven angels, not just there were seven angels, but the seven angels. And that exact phrase is used in Revelation 1, verse 20, talking about those seven angels to the seven churches. So, you know, in chapter 4, the church got raptured up. So maybe those angels are there. Maybe those angels of the churches, maybe they're given the trumpets. That's what I would speculate here. And so they're getting ready to sound. And we kind of all know what a sound of a trumpet would be. It's very distinct. And it's kind of the loudest of the brass instruments. And what happens here on earth when the first trumpet sounds, Teresa? What did it say there happened? Yep. Hail and fire mingled with blood. So that happens to the earth there. Now, what do you think of when you hear about this hail coming to earth? Is there any other place in the Bible where there was hail? Yeah, a bunch, but yeah, what, Exodus what? Yeah, and so I think I had you put the word plague. It's similar to the seventh plague on Egypt. And then also, will you think of another example, Linda? At Sodom and Gomorrah, he destroyed it with hail mingled with fire, wasn't it? And brimstone. Yeah. Now, I think we got enough time. If I can read my computer upside down. This is so strange. Maybe I can see it better up there. Aha. I bet Jim's heard of this guy, this Ron Wyatt. Well, what's the other one you like? The archaeologist? Oh, maybe it's this guy's passed away now, Ron Wyatt, but he's done some archaeological digs, and they've actually found, like, I think that brimstone is connected with sulfur. They've actually found these little balls of sulfur in the area where they think Sodom and Gomorrah is, and you're going to see him here. He's going to light it on fire. It can still burn. So he offers just, let me see if this will.
After all this time, I found one. Ladies and gentlemen, a sulfur ball in the ruins of the city. This has been tested before, and these are almost, you know, very highly pure sulfur. Look at that. Look at that. A perfect sulfur ball. Just like the Bible says that fire and sulfur destroyed this place. Wow. I'm so glad I found one. Okay, with this piece of sulfur that I managed to find, I'm now going to burn it and see what happens. Here we go.
Yeah, I don't have the part two.
After all this time, okay, I found one.
I think that's it.
Ladies and gentlemen, a sulfur ball.
Let me go back here. So this is Ron White, and I think James Horton sends me some stuff from him, but this is Kent Hovind, and I got to see him in person. He's still alive, but he comments on Ron Wyatt's findings, so I wanted to play him too. We got just a few minutes here.
So tell us what Ron's wife told you about some of his discoveries, and you can flip through the slides here, whichever ones you want to talk about that you're visiting here tonight.
So the first one was the sulfur ball. It fit in the entire palm of my hand.
All big ones and little ones, all sizes.
Yes. And I'll tell you, I washed my hands with every kind of soap known to man after that, and for 2 days afterwards, my hands smelled like sulfur. You could not get the stench away.
Well, the rock is peppered with them. I mean, this occurs nowhere on Earth except right here. This is the ancient part of the city. It actually got so hot, it burned it all to ashes. It says it destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah completely.
Well, and they're finding sulfur balls now that are half the size of a human being. Could you imagine that on fire falling from heaven?
And at 450 degrees, you wouldn't last but a few seconds. Yeah. So you just go dig, poke your finger into what you think is just a wall of ash, and it's actually part of the old city, and it contains the sulfur balls.
And something interesting about the sulfur balls that they're finding at Sodom and Gomorrah is that they say they burn at least 10 times hotter than any sulfur balls they're finding anywhere else around the planet.
Well, they're 99.5% pure sulfur.
Yep.
And so she says, and I agree, I knew Ron before he died and talked to him in great length, and I believe he was exactly telling the truth. So tell us what now.
Okay. Anyway, I think you get the point there. So think about just the hail, and you know, it's really a supernatural phenomenon that, and hail occurs another time here in the book of Revelation, but this is offering, you know, because, you know, hail is like ice, like moisture that's frozen, and you know, we've had up around our farm animals get killed with. If hail, if it comes hard enough, you know, big enough. And one place here in Revelation, you talk about hail the size of a talent. And a talent is kind of like the weight of something that a grown man could carry, like 60 to 100 pounds. So you can imagine 100-pound hailstone coming out of the sky. And then there's this fire. Is there a phone going off? Okay. I don't know. But anyway, that's what happens when this first trumpet blows here. And it's right here around the middle point of the tribulation. And so I really think all these are being blown. And so Israel, the remnants going to Petra, the 144,000 are sealed and they're going all around the world. And Jim, I think this is probably Moses and Elijah, these two witnesses. Is that who you got here? Yeah, so these are like plagues. So like the plague on Egypt, the event that happened at Sodom and Gomorrah, these are coming down again, and it's in answer to these prayers of these saints, and these angels are going forth, and these things are, and notice what it happens here in verse 7 that Teresa read. They were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees were burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. And so this is very catastrophic things. You know, you think of like the Amazon rain or the rainforest. I mean, thousands, you know, even in our own country, like in is it Yosemite National Forest? I mean, it's probably centralized, probably not just a third of the Amazon or a third of Yosemite. It's wherever it's at, it's like a third part of the trees burn up because of this hail. I mean, firefighters couldn't be enough water or firefighters to put out something that massive. It probably just has to burn itself out. And then it says that all the green grass was burned up. So just extreme drought. And I've got a note here. I don't know if you knew it, but you know, in the process of creation, you know, God said, "Let there be light," and there was, and it was good. And the evening and the morning were the first day. So on the first day, God created light, and then day two is when He created the firmament that separated the waters above from the waters below, and the earth. From the dry land. But on day three, does anybody remember what He created? What do you remember? It's a good question. I'm glad I asked. What did God? It was grass. It was like the trees and herb yielding. So like one of the first things God created was grass. Well, here's one of the first things destroyed was the grass. So I thought that was kind of interesting. So some of this is connected with Genesis, and so anyway, that is the first trumpet. And you know, like with Egypt, if we were to go back and read the example there in Exodus chapter 9, the hail only fell on the Egyptians, and the God's people were protected. So I wanted to point that out before we left here. And my teaching point there is the Egyptians had a goddess of the sky called Nut. And so Nut couldn't protect the Egyptians from the hail, and neither can the Antichrist protect the earth from the hail, the fire, the blood. And we'll talk about the blood next time, because that word blood comes up, I think, with the second or third trumpet. And similarly, just as the plague in Egypt, God's people are protected, is what I was trying to say there. So anyway, that's pretty cool that those that are sealed and the people that are, you know, accepting Christ as their Messiah, they're in the tribulation with this everlasting gospel. They're being protected while all these disasters are happening. So anyway, interesting. Any thoughts? That's some of these things are kind of speculation, and some of them are So we're just trying to show you the basis from the word about it. All right. Well, let's do close up in prayer. We'll pray for Pastor Brian. I don't know if it's Jeff that's preaching this morning. I kind of forget. Jeremy. That's right. All right. Well, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Thank you, Lord, for this day, this gathering of people and just seeing the different types of prayers and just, God, how important prayer is and that you do hear, you do answer. Sometimes it's the answer is just not yet. And so, Lord, as these things unfold, I mean, they seem a little bit maybe irrelevant to us here and now. This we'll be up in heaven with you. But, Lord, we are concerned with our loved ones that may not know you yet. And so, Lord, help us to be diligent. Help us to be watchful. Help us to be intentional about sharing our faith. And, Lord, thank you for your word, just the basis of our faith. And pray for anybody not with us here this morning, and especially for Pastor Brian and Tyson and Doug as they're in the midst of a foreign country, and pray you'll protect them just as you'll protect people from this hail. And be with Pradeep and the pastors and the graduation ceremony that's maybe going on right now. I think they're a few hours ahead of us. So just to lift up Brian, pray you bring him home safely and keep Amy and the family safe while they're away. And so pray we be with Jeremy now in this in the main service. And be careful to give you all the honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.